Joseph.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Good. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you fine. Thank you.
Okay.
So we have Al Molini here, and we also, I don't think you've ever met, I'm not sure neither in person, neither on the phone, and then Marisol is here as well.
Wonderful. Al, yeah. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Rob. Al Molini, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. So, Rob.
Joseph, go ahead. Sure. What's on your mind, and how did we decide to get going again?
Well, I don't know. I kind of wanted you to tell us that, but I mean, I know where we stopped was in the third week, so we had done a lot of the segments. We were in the process of doing the segmentation, but I kind of, if it's okay with you, kind of take a step back, because now after what we had initially talked about was we were kind of in that place that we were trying to see who was going to be moved out of our book, and we were with our goal and stuff like that. It's just kind of difficult for us to do both at the same time. So we actually made it through that period. We hit our goal, so we're really happy about that. We kind of did a resegmentation again of the whole book yesterday. And I think it was just we wanted to go through again, maybe initially on your thoughts of establishing our minimums, our target minimum, and stuff like that. You know, Al has watched the videos and stuff. He wasn't in a lot of those calls that we initially gave. So I kind of want not to take up a lot of time, but maybe just bring up to speed as quickly as we can on that aspect. So.
Well, that's, Al, great to have you with us. What do you know about Supernova, and why do you think this makes sense now?
Okay, so first of all, I watched all the videos. Joe has told me about Supernova, and Abe has talked to me about it. Abe's a good buddy. A few things. First of all, I think I'm ready at this stage to convert to a fee-based approach versus what we do day-to-day, which is more trade-centric. It's gotten to the point where I really can't prospect at all. I mean, and a lot of our clients fall through the gaps because you know how it goes. It's who do I get a trade from today? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay? And then tomorrow, who do I get a trade from tomorrow? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And a lot of those people repeat week to week. So I end up calling a lot of people every week and calling nobody for several months. So I want to stop that. Okay? Furthermore, I want to go and prospect. I want to build my accounts. I want to sell. And I need a new approach. Another thing, I'm a certified financial planner. Never used it. Never used the designation. Except for when it gives me credibility and maybe I'll sit down and talk with a client, with his accountant, okay, or with the accountant. And then, I kind of have enough knowledge to be dangerous, kind of, but I've never formally done financial plans for clients. And I think that I have the capability to at least understand it when it's put together, okay? And something that that we can implement, and Joe's very fired up about that, too. So that's really it. I mean, I think we're ready to get restarted in the business with a new approach.
Okay.
Joe knows that I'm kind of weird this way. If I'm in, I'm all in. Like, I'm not going to half-ass it. Like, I'm in. So now I'm ready for coaching.
Okay.
By the way, I have a talent. I'm pretty good at parroting. So when you teach me and you tell me, I'll write down and I'll learn it. I'll be able to sell it.
Well, listen, there was never a doubt that you're a great salesman. I mean, all I know you is from what I hear from your team and what I hear from other people. And, you know, and look at your business. I mean, you created a great business, and I know, you know, life shows up and there's a lot of distractions. And if you're ready to go, we're ready to go. You got a great team, and they want nothing more than,
that's for sure,
you know, the three of you to really, really work together and create a great team. So I'm excited. The catalyst, I know there's some catalysts behind this, and God bless whatever they are. But I love your, you know, the clear expectations. You want to have a great service model and call all your clients. You want to grow, and you want to use your planning skills. So we're well equipped to help you in all three of those. And there's other benefits like balance in your life and things like that. But we'll show you how they work together. So this isn't. We want to help advisors give a great client experience, grow, and frankly, you know, put in a reasonable commitment of time and energy into their business. But we never ask people to go crazy, you know, like work harder, work more. We want you to work smart and use your time efficiently. So the first thing we have to do is we have to decide who's our ideal client. You know, if we could build a book of 50 great clients, who would they be? What's their profile? And then we decide how we're going to duplicate those 50 or 25 or 75 or whatever the magic number is. But we adhere to the 80-20 rule. I mean, what you described is what the majority of financial advisors do. They've got 50 clients or 25 clients that give them 80% of their business, and that's who they call. They're not dumb. They call them. And the problem is some of the clients that are good clients that have a lot of assets, because they just don't fit in with what we're doing at the time, don't get a call for 6 months. And that's when they leave, or they're unhappy, and we end up having too much turnover. So we're familiar with the problem. It started years and years ago with, you know, when we had 600 clients or 300 clients. But even when you have a couple hundred clients, it still can be a matter of lack of organization. So the first thing we did when we got together was determine what was our minimum. Because let's say we clean out the closet. Let's say we get rid of all the extra things in the closet. Well, what happens is if we keep buying things, the closet gets full of them. And so what we want to determine is what goes in the closet, and when, let's say, a new suit comes in, a new suit goes out. So that the closet never gets cluttered again. Okay? Because we're all subject to the same thing of hoarding, and that doesn't work when it comes to client service. So, we determined the last time when we met that the absolute minimum for doing business with someone, which was the average of your accounts, of your revenues divided by your accounts, was approximately $1 million of assets. And the target minimum, those clients that represent the top 20% of our practice, the average of those was $2.5 million. Now, Joseph, I know you've redone the numbers and know what we're doing. So what are our numbers now?
Well, our top 20 is right about there. And yeah, are the The other, hold on, give me a second. I'll give you the other ones in a second. Do you want me to segregate out the top 20, or are you just wanting an average of everything?
No, just take the total production divided by the total number of accounts.
Right. So we're looking at 1.3 million there.
Okay. So just for government work, the 1 million seems to be pretty close to the number, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so Al, are you comfortable with those minimums? Do you understand why we need them and why it makes sense? Okay.
Yeah, I'm really not comfortable. I'm not.
Okay.
Like, I would like to, first of all, our minimum to open the account has always been 100 to 150,000, and at some point we made it 250. Okay?
Yeah.
I think that if I double that 250 and go to 500,000, it's something that is not intimidating for me and where I can start, number one. Second of all, we have a total of 87 accounts, of which we could probably get rid of maybe a dozen.
I don't think you knew that, Rob. I think you were, the last time you looked for it, because we've already whittled it down a lot. So there's new numbers, and I'll give you now the 87.
And we'll probably be at 75 in the next 30 days.
Yeah.
So I think I have room where if I bring in some less, I'm still okay. Because between the two of us, Joe can have a total, according to your program, of 150 to 200 parts.
Both of us
together, you know?
Let me ask a simple question, though. How long have you been in the business now, Al?
30 years.
Okay, 30 years, right? 30 years. We've got that.
But not consistently, because I've gone into management. I've given up 3 books of business.
Okay, but...
So, look, for 30 years.
Here's the point. For you to bring value to somebody, here's what we want to talk. We want to think, what's the right thing for the client, not for us, okay? In order to be attractive, okay, the most attractive we can be, we've got to be other-focused. Then people are drawn to us because they like what they see. Okay, we're all about service, helping them. Now, let me ask you a question. When do you become of value when you do financial planning? I'm not talking about robo planning, you know. When do you really become valuable in financial planning?
When I implement the plan?
What do you want?
My point is that somebody with $500,000 that's doing a rollover doesn't need you. Okay? You're way overqualified for that person. They need you, frankly, when they get to around $5 million. Then they need real financial planning. They don't even need estate planning until after they get to $10 million. Okay? But they can use planning, wills, and trust and things to help them. So for us to be of value, right, to really be of value, the client needs to have enough money to be worth it for them and for us. Okay? So it's not exciting for you. It's not interesting for you to deal with a $500,000 account. It's not even interesting to do a million. It's probably not even interesting to do 2.5 million after 30 years. What would be very interesting is 20 million. Okay? So we don't want to go after 20 million now, but the point is we want to move up in the food chain after 30 years so that we're not the same person that we were when we started in the business. If you were the first or second year in the business, I'd say, fine, let's have a $500,000 loan. But we're not. Okay? you're way too skilled to, frankly, waste your energy. Because the time that you're spending on opening a $500,000 account, frankly, takes about the same amount of time that it does for a $2.5 million account. You're just fishing in a different pond. So we want to fish in a pond where the people have the money. And there's plenty of money around today. Tons of it. What you are is you're a great communicator. Okay? So we just want to give you a story and set you free. But if we set you free on $250,000 or $500,000 accounts, you're going to be in a terrible place in 2 years. You're going to be in a place where you have 300 accounts and, you know, you're going to be way over, you're going to be spending all your time calling clients and have no time to prospect. So I like the idea of you keeping your minimums high and maxing out at around, max out at maybe 70 clients each. Okay? Now I know you only have 87 clients now, but that doesn't matter. Okay, we want to keep capacity. So yeah, we can then go to more accounts. But you know, the less time you spend calling clients, the more time you have to prospect. And look, I'm not a rookie. I've been 45 years in this business. I know when somebody can sell. You can sell. Okay? It's just a matter of focus. So if we can get you focused on the right group of people, you'll close it. Am I incorrect in anything I said?
No.
I don't think so either. I mean, yeah, I think that number is kind of like, you know, it's a bigger number, but I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Rob. And I don't disagree that, I mean, in kind of being in between the both of you, that if he hears the way that you want him to do it, and he is dangerous in that aspect, because sometimes I have to, when I'm even going and discussing a strategy, where he's already, he goes, moves very quickly. So he'll start attacking this quickly. I do understand his concern too, because it is all of a sudden, yeah, I mean, we want to go where we feel comfortable. $1 million for
me. Well, I'm also new, right? In a new process, I'd rather cut my teeth, let's say. Oh, hold on a second, bro. National Fest or whatever. Are you hearing this, Rob, too?
No, that's supposed to happen now today, I guess.
Nice, look lot. Okay, anyway.
I'd rather cut my teeth a lower minimum.
Well, hang on here. You're going to do fine. You're good, okay? As you said, you're going to learn the scripts and you're going to be able to articulate it. And I'm not worried that you're going to have an issue with, you know, dealing with large people, larger high net worth clients. You've done it. You know how to do it. But it's new, so let's get to it and teach you how, you know, what we do and why it works and why clients are delighted. Here's the game, okay? The game is client-centered practice. So we're going to develop a practice that is other-centered and client-centered, meaning it's focused on service. One of the best analogies you can use is Mercedes-Benz. I was a BMW guy. Now I'm a Mercedes family. And it doesn't matter what Mercedes I take in to them. I can take the hot, most expensive AMG, or I can take a small Mercedes in. They treat me the same. Okay? So your practice, you want everybody in the practice treated great. Everybody has your brand on them. They want to say wonderful things about you and about the client experience that they have. So nobody leaves the Mercedes dealer without feeling good. And then they send out a survey and say, you know, I hope you're satisfied. I hope you're delighted. The representative calls and
It's just great, right? Now it's expensive, but for those people that can pay it, it's worth it, because we don't want to fool around with cars that don't work. And we want something that drives great and is simple, right? So that's a good enough. You want something, people have said to me, I said to them, why do you love Supernova? They said, because it's simple, but not easy, okay, to do. It's hard work, but it's simple. I don't have A, B, C, D clients and remembering who gets a birthday card and who gets an invitation to what, okay? We have one level of service. Everybody gets great service. That's a great concept to lock in, right? So what's the level of service? So this is what you say to a prospect. Mr. Prospect, this is the difference between what we deliver and what other people deliver. What we do is give you multi-generational planning plus full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments. Four of those will be reviews. Two of them will be in person. And we have 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution to any and all of your problems. How does that compare to what you're getting now? And what they'll say is, wow, how can you do that? And the answer is because we limit the number of clients that we do business with. And they go, wow, what's your minimum and how many clients do you have? That's what they'll say a lot, okay? That's the question that most wealthy people ask. What's your minimum and how many clients do you have? So for you to be able to answer, we have 87 clients, and our minimum is $2.5 million or $5 million. They'll go, well, okay, I belong with your group because you're exclusive. Okay? You're not a broker. You're a financial advisor. You are a life coach for that client in lots of ways. So what happens is as you start and do this sincerely, their life and your relationship with them will change. And Joseph can tell you this. What happens is the more you call, the more they open up. And you're not calling to sell them something. See, at first when you introduce this to your existing clients, they're going to say, you don't need to call me that much. And the reason is because you've called them in the past to sell them something. And so they don't want to hear from you that much. But they don't want to buy everything. But they run out of money. And it's a little bit intimidating for them. So they'll say, no, I just need to be called quarterly, you know, or just call me every 6 months. But that's not why we're calling, you see. We're calling because we do a financial plan. We implement the plan. We get an agenda from the plan to follow up on. And then we follow up on it and we implement it fully, which is not what anybody does. Everybody does financial planning, but nobody calls back and checks up and bugs them to make sure everything gets done. That's what you do because you care about them. And so once they find out that you really care about them, they will then open up and they'll start telling you things about their life, about their children, about their brother. And they'll start to ask for your advice on things other than just investing. And that's when your relationship changes. And that's when the meaning comes out in this job. Okay? Because you can be a big help to people. We create what we call the Golden Rolodex. We call it our enthusiastically endorsed list. And these are all the people that you meet during your life that you enthusiastically endorse. And they enthusiastically endorse you, I hope. But what happens is people need all kinds of things and they don't know who to go to. They're not going to go to Angie's List. They're not going to go to the Internet. They're going to go to their friends to ask about You know, do you have a good oncologist? Do you have a good CPA? Do you have a good estate planning attorney? Do you have a, and as people get older, you know, they have all their medical issues. So they need advice and they need introductions. And that's where we come in. So we create this enthusiastically endorsed list from people that they do business with and we do business with, and that's how our networking begins. And then we multiply that networking group by 87 clients, and we have a pretty good idea of who are the best people in the community. Plus, we can ask anybody those questions, and we build this incredibly valuable list. And when somebody new moves into town, we've got a list for them. Not that we're going to give it to them right away. We aren't. Because the only people we give this to are people that we trust, because we're letting them into our community. But once we trust them and believe that they're good people, not jerks, then we let them in and we allow them to be part of this networking community, because they're gonna be like our people that buy a Mercedes. They're going to pay for it, and they're going to get great service. So we create this community, and everybody is, you know, then we're not talking about negotiating fees, and we're not talking about things that we don't want to spend any time on. We're talking about things that are important in the client's life. In order to get there, we have to start with a core group of clients that we're willing to call every month. And that's the key. So you really don't have 87 clients. You probably have 50 clients that you're willing to call every month. And that's what you really get down to. Okay. Well, maybe it's 87 because you've already done this. But my point is...
Yeah, almost 50. You were right the first time.
50, okay. Yeah. Because you're not going
to... Well, Bob, and if it's the Al's point and your point... Of the 87 clients, 54 of them produce about 95% of the revenue.
Right. So why do we want to waste our time on the others? Let's just find a home for them, be nice to them. You know, if they're related or they're children, that's fine, but we make them butlers. But let's not have to dilute our efforts here. So the important point is how many clients do we, where's our starting point? So it's 54. We have 54 clients. 54 clients divided by two guys is 25 clients. That means that you, normally with 100 clients, you need to contact five people a day. Okay? So with this, you only need to contact two a day. So that means that 80% of your time you can spend on prospecting. So what we want to do is organize your prospecting time, because we really don't need to organize your client calling time that much. It's going to be done in 2 minutes. Organizing your prospecting time so it has structure and rituals around it makes it work for you, so that you don't feel like, you know, there's nothing to do here. I've called my client. Now I got to find something to do. Right? What am I going to do? No, you got to fill that time or you're going to get bored. All right? You're going to go start another business or something. So we got to fill that time with this business and make it all part of a comprehensive growth strategy that you love, okay? So we've got to find out what it is that you love about prospecting, about acquisition, and what gets you excited, and what gives you that high of, I just closed a $3 million, $5 million client. What makes you excited about that? How does that work for you? And then how do we repeat that and make it happen more and more and more and more and more? And then you become, you know, what you're capable of, which is world-class. And you have a world-class practice with say 140 clients, 70 each, and you rock and roll and you triple your business. So, not complicated. How does that sound?
It makes sense, Rob.
Okay. All right. So, Joseph knows how to segment. Work on that. You've got your minimums. You've got your maximums. Maximum number of clients is 70. You have, 25 each now. You can grow. But we don't want to bring anybody in that doesn't meet our absolute minimum. So we don't use 1 million as our minimum. When we're talking to CPAs and attorneys and anybody, our minimum is 2.5 million. Okay? And somebody says, well, I've got 2 million. Will you take me if I promise to grow it to 2.5 in 12 months? And you go, yes, we will. That's why we have two minimums. Okay? We have our target minimum, which we advertise, and then we've got our absolute minimum, which means we don't take somebody with 800,000. Sorry. We don't. We hand them to somebody else that we love, and they take them. Now, if it's a CEO of a company, we take them, okay? The rule of common sense trumps all other rules. But we don't prospect people with $800,000 rollovers. We prospect people that have $5 million rollovers and $4 million rollovers and $3 million and $2 million. But we don't prospect people with $1 million, because then they'll say, I can bring you $500,000. And you go, damn, why am I prospecting the wrong people? Okay.
Rob, what about the centers of influence? How do I tackle that? People that I identify as COIs.
What have you done in the past? If I looked at the 54 clients that you have, where did they come from?
A lot.
Referrals.
A lot. Mainly moved over from another institution.
What does that mean?
Once in a while, I get a referral from a COI, but it's not something I'm good at. I just now, due to recent networking, have a number of people that I think are COIs. But I really haven't flexed that. I haven't really gone after it.
Okay, so the majority of your clients are referred to you from another institution?
No, it's our book that we
moved over to. We moved over to Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, but where did that, I know, but when you first opened them, where did they come from?
In a bank, HSBC.
Referred by the banker.
Right. So,
yeah.
But did you have centers of influence that gave you those clients, or how did they come?
Internally, yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, this is going to be more fun then. I'm going to teach you guys everything I know about prospecting. Well, one of the things is to use internal people. Okay, that's not a crazy way to have centers of influence. You've already seen that. It works. So if you can have folks inside your organization that think you're wonderful, then that's an advantage. So one of the things we do is we market internally and externally. So part of our brand is to create an image within our organization that we're the best team in the branch, okay? So that if somebody inherited $5 million, we'd be the first people they'd come to. In the meantime, you create an internal pride in what you do. So there's no losing with that strategy. You see, you become everybody's go-to team if they have your minimums.
Keep in mind, I was an HSBC, not a Morgan Stanley. And Morgan Stanley probably not any good referral on the brokers.
You can get referrals. You can get referrals from your managers, your administrative managers, other people, other CAs, FAs, wholesalers, you can get.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I get it. Yep.
Yeah, there's lots of people that observe you every day, evaluate you, and determine if they had their, if they were going to invest their money, they'd invest it with you.
Okay.
Okay. So, because they're free to, right? I mean, if somebody,
yep,
somebody works in the region, or they can do business with you. Okay. So external centers of influence. They're everybody that has influence over a group. Typically, a center of influence by definition is a person that likes you, trusts you, and sends you introductions without you asking. Okay, that's the definition of a center of influence. Everybody else that you're talking to, that you're hoping to become a center of influence, is a prospect to become a center of influence. Now, it takes, in some cases, years to develop a center of influence. That's the part that's so frustrating.
Well, I'd be wrong. We've experienced that because we have a scenario that I think that, and I think Marisol feels the same way too, that Al has spent a tremendous amount of time with a CPA firm down the street and given tremendous referral. It's been, a very one-way street, first of all, right?
Completely. It's been a few, a year.
So well, as you can see, we've been here already 5.
Exactly.
And it's been until it is.
And you have to...
And, I mean, he endorses them and sends in clients and highly endorses them. And we've met with them. We've done...
seminars.
Like, kind of mini seminars with them and stuff like that, and we have got zero, I think, out of, right, have we got zero? Well, wonderful. No, we got zero. Oh, that other guy, that crazy guy, that, but that was really great.
No, zero.
Alright, so we're gonna do this differently, okay? We're gonna pretend that we're forming a company, and each one of the people that we bring into this company is a partner in the company. So when we bring a CPA in to become a center of influence, we become partners in a business.
Okay.
All right. Now, if you were really partners with somebody, how often would you meet with them?
A lot. I mean, monthly, weekly, whatever.
Yeah, at least once a week.
Right.
But
we're not going to meet once a week, but we are going to meet once a month, okay? Because we want this to be real. We want it to be a true partnership. Partners work for each other. They help each other. So the game becomes to really get to know them and what they do. Now here's going to be the difference. You're going to be very proud of what you're doing. I'm not saying you aren't proud now, but you're going to be very proud of what you're doing because it's client-centered. You can market it. You can sell it. And they will like it. And they will refer business to you because of it. Because it isn't about performance and it's not about you making commissions. It's about them getting a great experience. That's what you sell. So what you want to do is you want, from this point on, you want to brand yourself as the service company. Okay? That's the key. Clients care about the experience that they're getting. And the two ways that you communicate with them is one, calling them regularly. And a set appointment is like nirvana for them. We're going to create an agenda for every call. No more casual phone calls. We're going to then give them an executive summary of what we said and who's responsible and when we're going to follow up on it. Now think about that. how valuable that is to them. This is what we agreed on. This is who's doing it. And this is the date I'm going to get it done by. That's one way we communicate. The second way is when they have a problem. They call us, and we're anxious to help. We find out what the problem is, respond to it immediately in terms of understanding it, and then we give them a timeline for finishing it. So most problems can get solved in 24 hours. Okay? So if it can't get solved in 24 hours, we tell them how long it's going to take. And then we send them regular emails, keep them posted, and then call them when it's done. Now that'll be shocking to most clients, because nobody does that. How much more effort does that take? Not much. Not much. So those things are the things that become part of our brand, but there's other things, right? Like today, I went to try and call one of my teams, and when I Googled them, I couldn't find, all I got was an ad for a seminar up there that came up. I couldn't get it, okay? So that's stuff, right? So what do I get when I Google you guys? What's your brand on the internet? So everything that we do, we want to have a consistent and great brand. So whether, because that's the first thing you meet somebody, they're going to do is Google you. So you need a strong LinkedIn presence. You need a good web page. And you want to make sure when they Google you, they can find you. Okay? Now we're going to give each client a folder, which is going to make it easy for them to find us if they can find the folder. Because on the folder, it's going to have information on the first page about us, our phone numbers, our team, our location, etc. And Joseph Maricall can tell you about what is the, you know, what else goes in the folder. But the folder has a very big power. Because in the middle of the folder, you're also going to have a sheet, which is introductions given and received for each client. So you're going to do the same thing for your center of influence. Introductions given and received. Every center of influence is going to have a folder. You're going to meet with them monthly, and you're going to look. First thing you're going to do is go to that page of introductions given and received. You're going to give them an update on how well and how things are going with the introduction that they gave you.
Hey, Rob, question for you. Does the center of influence have an account with us?
Does the Center of Influence what?
Have an account with us?
They will eventually, if not already.
Okay. But it's not necessary for them to be a COI and be in the program and have an account.
That's right. They could be, I mean, there's not too many situations where they wouldn't have the ability. So let's say theoretically that they're doing business with their brother, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they cannot get out of that, right?
Yes.
They're screwed. But they don't particularly want to refer business to their brother. Because
okay.
it looks too infectious, right? So that would be a very reasonable case where they wouldn't do business with us, but they would love us and send us lots of business.
Got it. And then the next question is, do they have to be our minimum threshold? Can they be a $400,000 account?
Yes, but here's the thing. We want their practice to look like our practice. Okay?
Yeah.
So your centers of influence clients should be clients that would be comparable to our clients. Meaning their clients would meet our minimums. All, you know, pretty much. That's their sweet spot. So when we interview them, we ask them the same thing. How many clients do you work with? What's your minimum? The other thing we want to know is, what's your specialty? You know, who's your ideal client? Just like I did with you guys. And we haven't really gotten to other things about what makes an ideal client. So that's what you would ask. Who's your ideal client? Well, it's a, you know, it's a person that's retired that has, you know, $5 million. Okay. Retired from what? You know, what? Where did they retire from? All over the place. Anything in particular? Anything that makes them have a common interest? Well, yeah, these are all guys that worked for, you know, pick your favorite company, right? They all work for Carnival Cruise. They all work for XYZ company. Yeah, okay, great. You have a center of influence at Carnival Cruise. Therefore, we have an opportunity, right? So part of it is you want to interview them and teach them what you know about centers of influence and how to develop business. So you're going to teach them the enthusiastically endorsed questions. Teach me how to get centers of influence, and then teach me how to get introductions from centers of influence. Really easy. It sounds hard, but it's not. You teach them what you do. They say, how are you able to get me so many introductions? Well, we ask this question. We ask the question, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? We're going to get one of three answers. Positive, negative, or neutral. About 60% of the time we're going to get a neutral. He's okay. 20% of the time we're going to get he's fabulous. We write that down. Who is he? What's his phone number? Tell me about him. Why do you like him so much? Blah, blah, blah. The other 20% of the time you're going to get, I really don't like him. I've outgrown him. He doesn't call me. I don't think he's that sharp. I need a new one. And that's when you step in and said, would you be open to being introduced to one of our enthusiastically endorsed CPAs? Well, tell me about it. Well, we ask every client and every friend and everybody we know, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? When they say yes, we make a list of them. And then what we find is that a lot of them have, you know, the same names keep coming up. We meet with them. We interview them. We make sure that they are as good as they say they are. And then we put them on our enthusiastically endorsed list. We have three CPAs on our enthusiastically endorsed list. The one that gets the most enthusiastic endorsements, two that's next, and three that's next. We meet with enthusiastically endorsed CPA once a month to make sure that the practice hasn't changed, just like we meet with money managers to verify that things are going well. The other we meet with quarterly, and the third one we meet semi-annually. People retire, people move on, things change, so we always have to have three. We will always give you three names. You decide what's a good fit for you. Now, we're not just going to give you three names. We're going to introduce you to those three. And you can introduce them in person. You can introduce them on the phone. You can introduce them by email. But you always introduce them. You never just give them a name. It's rude. So always introduce them. And he says, yeah, that works for you, but what do I do? And you say, you do the same thing. You ask, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And they're going to get the same answers. 60% of the time they're going to be, he's okay. Or 20% of the time they're going to go, he's fabulous. And 20% of the time they're going to go, I really think, you know, I'm about ready for it. Make a change. And my guess is it's probably greater than that right now. My guess is probably closer to 40% of the people that say I'd be ready to make a change. So what you say is this is what you say. I keep this enthusiastically endorsed list. I keep three names on it. I'd like you to, you know, and I'll introduce you. Just go through the exact, but teach the client, teach the CPA to go through exactly what we said. I meet with them. I ask all my clients, can you enthusiastically endorse, positive, negative, neutral? I meet with the positive people. I interview them, make sure they're qualified. These are the people that get the most enthusiastic endorsements. This is second, this is third. Give me the three names, I'll introduce you, and make sure that it's a good fit for you. Now, you need to, just like you guys, Joseph, right, you've heard this before, right?
Yes. So,
you, are you using it?
No.
Okay, so here's the answer to life, guys. Just because there's a cure for cancer doesn't mean people will get cured. Okay? First of all, they got to admit they have it. Right? Then they got to admit that there's a cure. Then they've got to use it. Compliance is one of the biggest challenges that doctors have. They give them the pills and people don't take them. Okay? It's not that people are stupid, they're just in their own habits, their own rituals. So what we have to do is create a ritual around the good habits that we want to perpetuate and eliminate the habits that we want to, that aren't good for us. Alright, so the book that I want you guys to read, which is Larry Wilson's book called Playing to Win. Okay? And he talks about how irrational people are in their psychology and how rational we should be. So we should repeat the habits of things that are good for us and we should eliminate the habits of things that aren't good for us. Jim Lehrer, in his book, The Power of Full Engagement, which is another book I want you to read. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to read it. I want you to download the Kindle. I want you to listen to it. My book and these two books. Listen to them on the way to work, on the way home, but just absorb them. They will change your life and help you become a better you.
Rob, is your new book out yet?
Yeah, I bought it.
The new one?
I'm just about to get it out, okay? We have a new book on Teams, okay? You can read that, listen to that.
Okay.
And, but the Supernova Multiplier is, I just got some good news that one of the firms that I'm that I coached a lot of people at is going to allow me, I think, to use their name, which makes it much more credible, right? If you have Rob Knapp from Merrill Lynch is a lot more credible than Rob. Rob's somebody from somewhere. So we had to go through a terrible time getting permission to get it, to use the name. I got one of the top executives to give me permission, went through the whole thing before I ever started the book, but he retired, nobody remembers.
Right.
So anyway, so we're very, very close. If you go on Amazon, you'll see the book is being advertised to come out in December. I think we'll make that deadline. And it will be, everything in there is everything that I'm teaching you now. So
okay. It's
going to be a huge advantage to have that book. I didn't hold anything back. But like I said, just because you got a good idea doesn't mean anybody's going to use it, right?
Right. Right.
So,
Rob, one last question. Listen, Marisol made a good point yesterday when we were going through the segmentation list. Since we're kind of, in a way, we're under already to a certain extent, obviously we don't need to get rid of relationships to get under the 100 or whatever that mark is. I know there's somewhere in this process, because what she said is, a lot of these clients, you know, if we start doing this for them, these clients that maybe have, you know, $800,000 and produce, you know, $8,000-$9,000 in fees, could potentially move up the ladder. We just haven't really, maybe because they're not in that niche, you know, 50, it might be in that other, I don't know what, maybe there's a bunch of about 15 probably that. So there's probably another group of like 20-something clients there that are in that third tier is what I would call. That are good accounts, And I'm just wondering, before we go and say, hey, just, you know, forget these guys, he was the one that actually, you know, told us about it. I mean, some of you might themselves upgrade themselves into a new spot.
All right, so here's the deal. You introduce it to them, send them a folder, and start calling them every month, okay? And you will quickly decide whether it's worth it or not.
Right.
Okay.
Okay? Right.
Yeah. I mean, heck, if they got 8 million away from you and you got 800,000, of course I want you to keep them.
Right.
Remember, the rule of common sense trumps all the rules.
Got it.
Okay. So we're not giving away clients with huge potential. What we're doing is when somebody has $50,000 in a rollover with us, and we know they're, you know, 78 years old, they don't love them, but they don't need us, right? They need somebody that's going to just call them twice a year and tell them everything's okay. All right?
Okay. Makes sense.
All right. Because we don't want to charge people a fee for not doing anything. All right? So we want to, you know, we want to be fair with them. So we want to work hard for them. So it's got to be somebody that needs us. And you can find a nice person in there that loves people, wants to have a million accounts, and will do their best to call all of them. And you know there's some of those people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give those accounts to them and say, you know, happy holidays, here's a gift. Don't split it, just give it to them. And they will love you, and they'll call them, and everybody will be happy. And you... I want you to be skinny enough, you are nervous. You're anxious. You're a little worried. Okay? Because that will make you prospect. When we're fat and happy and sitting around, that's not a good condition. We want to be a little anxious. We want to be a little on the edge of our seat. We want to grow, really grow, because we need to grow, not because we just want to grow. That's a great condition to be in. And then you're going to pay attention, and you're going to do the things I tell you work. I'm not going to ever tell you something that doesn't work.
Right. I know that. I can feel that.
Yeah, why would I do that? Why would I tell you something that doesn't work? Okay, now I've coached thousands of financial advisors and teams. Thousands. So I know what works, and I know what doesn't work. So I'm going to give you everything that I, my best work. I'm never going to tell you something that's contrary to all my experience. So when I give you something, it's frankly gold, okay? I'm not being, you know, I'm not being egotistical. I'm just telling you, it works. And the best guys do it. And I can give you case after case, which are in the book. But remember, and we're taking too long today, so in order to change your mind, all right, and to do something that you haven't done in the past, you have to get to the enthusiasm stage. Now, how do you get to enthusiasm? You know that, right, Al? You know when you're enthusiastic about something, you can sell it. Joseph, you can sell it. You're committed. Clients can tell. In order to get there, there's five stages you go through in your brain. Okay? Curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. If you don't go through those stages, you won't get to enthusiasm. Well, you can't just jump from curious to enthusiasm. You have to be convinced. That part of that is my job, but part of it is your job. Because when you call clients and you introduce Supernova to them, you become convinced because their reaction is positive. If it was negative, I wouldn't be in business. So, curiosity, so you're curious enough to get on the call and listen to what I have to say. You have an interest in it. You read the book. You know more than you did. You're in the knowledge stage now, which is learning. That's why I say to read the books. Listen to the books. Listen to my book. Listen to it over and over. Curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief. At some point, you click into belief. And it's usually when you try it and it works. And that's why, Al, when you said, I want to try this out with some people that say, yes, that's a good idea. Because that will make you believe in it more, right? So we always said, we tried out a new product on the people we knew would buy it first and then get to the hard ones. That's why it's called the same 25 people, because they always say yes. Curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. When you're in the enthusiasm stage, it's like a wind just knocking the wheat down. It just blows through and takes everything. You can accomplish anything when you're enthusiastic about it. But, you know, some people that try and go from, you know, the early adapters, the people that love everything, they go from curious to, right to enthusiasm. And people don't respect them then because they haven't gone through the process. You know, let Mikey try it first. Well, the good thing, Al, is that you've got a lot of people in that office that have been through Supernova. Well, not a lot, but I mean, you know, 6 or 7 teams. So you have people in there that you can go to and say, does this really work or not? And Joseph, you know that, right? You've been around.
Yep.
But so does this center of influence thing, okay? So I want you to begin compiling the list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals. It's in the book. Find the list. Start filling it in. Start meeting with centers of influence. Ask everybody that question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? State planning tree. Start to fill that thing in. Because when you get it done, it's going to be worth a lot of money to you. All right? And we covered a lot today.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks worth of work.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, guys. It's going to be fun. I'm really excited. I'm glad you're back.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Thank you very much.
It's going to be a hot team. Can't wait. Thanks.
Thank you, Rob. Bye-bye.